I think that music is, at least for me and most people I know, the greatest medicine.
Welcome to The One You Feed. Throughout time, great thinkers have recognized the importance of the thoughts we have. Quotes like, garbage in, garbage out, or you are what you think, ring true. And yet, for many of us, our thoughts don't strengthen or empower us. We tend toward negativity, self-pity, jealousy, or fear. We see what we don't have instead of what we do. We think things that hold us back and dampen our spirit. But it's not just about thinking. Our actions matter. It takes conscious, consistent, and creative effort to make a life worth living. This podcast is about how other people keep themselves moving in the right direction, how they feed their good wolf.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for joining us. Our guest this episode is Langhorne Slim, a celebrated singer-songwriter described by The New Yorker as having Leadbelly's gift for storytelling and Dylan's ability to captivate crowds. We caught up with Langhorne in between gigs to talk music, sobriety, and life. You can learn more about Langhorne Slim and this podcast at oneufeed.net/Langhorne.
Hi, Langhorne. Welcome to the show. We're glad you could be here.
Glad to be here. Hello, hello.
I first saw you, I think, in Nashville one evening. I was traveling on business, and on a lark, I went out to a club to see you play. It's probably been 5 years at least, and I was totally blown away. And I've seen you a couple times in Columbus since. So, great live show, and I've always enjoyed your music.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Our podcast is called The One You Feed, and it's based on the old parable where there's a grandfather who's talking with his grandson, and he says, in life, there are two wolves inside of us who are always at war with each other. One is a good wolf, represents kindness and love and joy, and the other is a bad wolf and represents greed and fear or hate or pick your poison. And the grandson stops and he thinks and he says, well, grandfather, which one wins? And the grandfather says, the one you feed. So
that's great.
Yeah, the way I like to start the interview off is just to ask you kind of, what does that parable mean to you in both or either your life or your work?
Yeah, in my case, there were two old men, and they were old Jewish men that lived in Philadelphia that told me that, and in their own way, those were my grandfathers. But I love that. That's what you sent me when you got in touch with the message, and I read that and thought how cool it was, you know, guys like me are fortunate to have people to want to talk to them about their music or what they do. It's usually driven with kind of less interesting, soulful topics and dynamics. So I really do like that and appreciate the chat. What does it mean for me? Probably what it means for us all. I mean, absolutely. There's two. I guess there's the dark demon of, like you said, of fear and greed and all that, and then, you know, the light and the true soul and all that. And so it's just kind of figuring out as we go through life what, at least for me, what feeds my soul, what feeds the... When I say light, I don't mean as far as weight, because I do like heavy things, heavy and soulful things. But you know what feeds the love and the light, and what kind of detracts from the shittier things. For me, it's music, it's friends, it's creating, it's traveling. is keeping very, very, very busy, or else I get, I think I'm always a strange one, but I get strange in not fun ways. So it's a daily weird ass adventure, that sometimes feels, you know, sometimes it's like you're walking, you can feel your footsteps and they feel heavy. And then other days you're just walking and singing a little tune in your head, and the sun is shining and everything kind of feels cool. And then there's a lot of shit in between. So it's just kind of the adventure and the paths that we choose in all of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I like how you talked about the things that feed you. And music is definitely one for both Chris and I, which is why we try and get musicians on here as often as we can, because it's a big part of what feeds our good wolf. You brought up your grandfathers, and that was actually a question I was going to go to at some point. So you've got a song on your most recent record called Song for Sid, which,
yeah,
I think is about one of your grandfathers.
Sydney, yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that song?
I love that old man. I pray he's where he belongs, hanging where the gray ones go. When they're gone.
I can tell you a bit about that song. I can tell you a bit about my grandfathers. They were huge, huge figures in my brother and I's life. But yeah, my grandfathers, my grandparents in general, had a huge part in raising my brother and I, and kind of forming us into the men that we are. Both of them passed in the last 5 years. Both of them I had spent significant time with at the end of their lives, their physical lives here. And was very, I consider those to be some of the greatest gifts that I've been given, was to have them both, in my life, and to have been fortunate enough through what I do to be able to be close to them at their end, and to have heard out of their mouths that they were ready to move on, that they enjoyed their lives, that they loved their families, and imparted some wisdom to me, and said, you know, please don't spend a whole lot of time being too sad about this, because it is time to get the F out of here, and it's been real, and I love you very much. And all that. So for me in my 33 years, that those were two of the most important guys to me, and incredibly significant.
Yeah. Yeah. The song is it's a touching song. And there's one other song where you reference your grandfather, and you say, and it's a line that I really like, and I think about a lot, which is that, my grandfather once told me that all pain hurts the same. And the idea is basically, even though other people may have less than us, or we can think about this person, you know, has no access to clean water, or this person was, you know, abused by their parents,
yeah,
but realizing that hurt is hurt. And we have to find ways to deal with that in ourselves. I really like that part of that song.
Well, thank you. That was exactly the conversation. And that's what he told me about it. It's relative to you, and relative to me, and relative to I was dealing with it.
So one of the other things that I noticed recently that has come up in your life is you've recently become sober. Can you share a little bit about, I guess, what brought you to that point, and how that experience has been for you so far?
Yeah, it's a new experience. It was a long time coming, but I've been for about 5 months. And when friends and people ask me why and what brought me to it, I think what brings a lot of it, those of us that are sober, to it, which is a lot of whatever the vice that we liked. And for me, it was, I drank as much as I could. I tried to drink it all. I left some for those that are still drinking. And really through, since I guess I'm about 15, kind of tried everything, 33 now. And it became more of a weight, more of a burden, and something that was just more in my way than I want something. And somebody told me a long time ago, and this, I didn't take this as a religious vibe really when she said it, but I was talking to her about it. I'm a man full of love and full of passion, and that well within myself is deep. And I was talking to her about kind of where I wanted to go in relationships and in music and in career. And she said, well, you can't serve two gods, she said. And again, I didn't take that as a religious thing. I took it as, if I want to love this human being in my life, you know, hypothetical human being, I'm a single man right now, but, you know, and put energy and love into this human being, how can you do that to the fullest if you're spending, not everybody spends so much time and energy drinking or doing drugs, but some of us do and some of us did. So how can you put all of yourself or the best of yourself into that? And the same with music and art. And I got to a point, even though I knew when I was 15 and I started drinking, I said to my high school sweetheart, who I just saw yesterday, it was her birthday, I said, eventually, I just started drinking, and I said, eventually I will have to stop this to get to where I need to go. And it was on my 33rd birthday. It was a long time coming, but I said to myself, today is the day, and I haven't looked back since. And shit's been wild. I think when you are invested in being high and drunk and all that and medicated for a large part of your life, when you transfer into a sober state, I've heard a lot of sober people say this, and I kind of thought nothing of it, or maybe even rolled my eyes at it, but it's its own intoxicating feeling in and of itself, and it's its own trip in and of itself, and I'm doing that dance right now, and it's been really cool.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well, congratulations on 5 months. I've walked that road myself, and you're right. In the beginning, there's something very... I just remember sort of being blown away again and again with these insights, like, whoa. And I agree that at a certain point, I think most people who end up giving it up, it is because they finally realize that that is the God they're serving. You know, they're serving the God of their alcoholism or drug addiction, and that is the most important thing. And that's, I don't think anybody intends for it to be that way, but that's the way it ends up. And
no.
You want to talk about feeding the bad wolf. I mean, that's the big wolf, right? You know?
There you go. And again, it's not, when I talk about this, which I'm happy to, and I'm open about it, I don't mean it for any, I don't know what everybody else's path is and people's experience with it. So I talk very much on a personal level, but I know that, I mean, why I love music and why I do what I do in such a passionate way is to get to my center, to my truth, and to be real and raw. And for me, that became really clear that I wasn't being real and raw by kind of medicating my fears and my discomforts and my anxieties, and to have a breakthrough in my relationships in this life, in one of those relationships, my being my music is obviously very important to me. I felt like in order to have a true breakthrough with that, and then a true breakthrough romantically the next time that comes into my life, break through the ceiling that I've, you know, I've reached a certain level, but that ain't nothing. To break through it, that this was something that I needed to have in my life and to see what it was all about. Looking through these weird sober brown eyes as opposed to these weird fucked up brown eyes. So
yeah, the first time that you that people in general, myself, I guess I should say, experience some things sober, whether it be getting up on a stage and playing music for the first time sober, or dancing somewhere the first time sober, or, you know, intimate relationships. It's like, whoa, there has been sort of a nice protective barrier around me all this time, and now I've sort of taken that off. And the thing about your show I mentioned earlier when I saw you in Nashville was I was sober at that point, and I went there, and your music did have that sort of transformative effect of sort of free, you know, giving that freeing from the day-to-day cares and moments that alcohol sometimes gives, but it's wonderful when you get it other ways, and so I really enjoyed that.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So how is it 5 months? Are you finding it to be a challenge? Are you wrestling with staying sober, or right now is it pretty easy for you?
The benefits and the beauty that has been the last 5 months far outweighs the difficulty of it. I find life to be beautiful and wonderful, but also difficult and a challenge. I think that that's going to be the case whether I'm drinking or doing drugs or sober. I'm not struggling with I'm very stubborn and set in my ways, and as weak as I can be that strong. So it's like, if I say to myself, this is what I'm doing, and then I start talking to people that I don't know on recording devices like you and say these things, it means I'm really ready. I'm ready for it, man. And I'm embracing it. And, just like I was when I was, you know, when I was drinking, I drank a lot. And now I don't, and I'm into that. So I'm definitely an animal of extremes, and I don't know if that's going to change much. But no, I mean, you know, I think the worst thing that has happened was I went to a party that they have in Nashville, a really fun party with a bunch of my friends, and people dance, drink, and have a great time. And it was and this was some months ago. And I went in and I found that it was, in fact, a bit more difficult for me to dance and, like, get into it. And I left and I was like, man, that really sucks. And I thought to myself, well, if that's the worst thing, and I had a recording session the next day. So the next morning, I was like, if that's the worst thing that's going to happen, that I'm going to feel a little bit more uncomfortable in this kind of, you know, crowded bar, dance party situation, but I'll be able to get up tomorrow morning and sing my ass off at this thing, then it's a pretty fair trade-off. And it gets easier to dance. You know, it's like, it ain't these things, booze or drugs or whatever that allow, and dance, let's use that as a metaphor. I don't just mean, you know, shaking your ass on a dance floor. If you're able to do it with it, you have it in, it's within you. So I don't know, man, it's a complicated subject because, you know, taking certain things throughout my life did inspire me creatively at times, did further the process. And since I've been sober, that has fed my creativity. So I don't regret things that I've done necessarily. Well, but I do have some regrets. I can't say that 100% honestly. But I think it's just the past. And there was good things that happened in those years and shitty things. Within the 5 months, it's where I need to be. And it feels right. And that dance, I'm in rhythm with my own steps with that. So that's cool by me. And I'll keep going. I'll keep going in that direction. You know, see, I like I said, I told myself when I was a kid that eventually this day would come, and that would further me with my things that I'm truly in love with in life, which is this music and performing, and you know, I still got the dream is still alive that I will find a wonderful you know, relationship, and stick with that. So I'll put this new self up against those things and see how it looks. And that takes time. That doesn't happen overnight necessarily.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Yep, and it's, you know, I think what you said about, I think all of us, the alcohol or the past, I mean, there was magic in it for a long time, and that's why why we did it. It's just at a certain point that magic runs out, and the...
That's right.
And, you know, I think I always say that nobody's gonna get into recovery until the pain of it is worse than the pleasure of it, and it takes a while to get there.
And if we're talking about the two wolves, you know, feeding the two wolves, you're right. Nobody starts to do these things in such an intense and addictive way. It feels like you're feeding the light, and it can, if you're a poet or a painter or a musician or whatever you are, or just trying to be comfortable socially, it feeds that fun. Like, you know, like I could talk a little bit easier. I feel like I look better, or whatever it is. Like, it makes you feel better, and like you say, eventually you realize that it you'd be better off without it, and it starts to feed the dark side. So that was true for me, man. That's what got me to wanting out of it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Your insight that all that stuff is sort of inside us anyway, and it's a matter of how do we get it out. And I think alcohol and drugs can sometimes be a shortcut to getting that stuff out, but it's, you hit a point where it doesn't work anymore, and then it's just it's another level of discovery of how do I excavate these things that are inside of me that I want to get out into the world.
Yeah.
And I don't have that shortcut.
That's right. And if you get into that and embrace that, and I'm just, you know, I guess beginning my journey with that, that's a beautiful thing, because that's a longer journey for your own personal truths and your own, you know, that it's a deep, deep well of that we all have within us, and the shortcuts could get there. You're right, to those songs or those poems or this or that. But yeah, I'm more into the long game than the short game at the moment. So
yeah, well, congratulations. Good luck to you with that. It's
you're in a
profession that is certainly challenging in that regard, to be kind of around it all the time. But early in my recovery, I played in bands and was around it a lot. And it's certainly, you know, there's plenty of examples of people that do it. So
there are. I enjoy a good challenge, and I've never been too afraid of not fitting in. What I've learned actually is at 30, maybe more so when we were really young, but I think there's just as many of us in the field that I am in that are not doing it as there are that are doing it. It just seems to be what happens. Eventually, a lot of us decide that enough's enough, you know.
Yeah, it's that pace will wreck you after a time. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, catches up with you after a little bit.
Yep. So, I want to ask you a couple other questions about a few different songs of yours off a couple different records that I've really enjoyed. I think maybe one of my favorite songs of yours is Diamonds and Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Do you anything you want to share about that song?
You can have all the diamonds, you can have all the gold, but someday you're still gonna get old. You've gotta learn to get happy along the way.
It's my mother's favorite song of mine. It's one of the songs that that kind of comes to you that I didn't have to work too hard at, which I really love when that happens. I think all songwriters are appreciative when that happens. It's not as often as I'd like it to happen. And it was really just self-therapy advice to myself, a reminder, you know, that it's all right. It's all right to smile.
Yep. Got to get a little happy along the way. Speaking of your mom, did you recently do a trip with her, and where you guys did a duet?
We did. She got on stage and sang that tune with me in Philly. We had a Pennsylvania, Langhorne is a town in Pennsylvania that I'm from. It's right outside of Philly. So it was a, like a big kind of homecoming show for us there. And she got up and sang. And then I took her to one of my best friends in the world is from Bermuda. And so I've been able to go there a few times, quite a few times. And I took her for her 60th there and had a little solo show. And she joined me on stage for that.
Do you get some of your musical talent from your parents?
My mom is a great singer. Could have been a professional singer, but didn't take it there. My dad, not sure if he's got musical talent, but he's a music lover. So I had it, and my grandparents were huge, huge, huge music lovers. And my grandpa Jack was a jazz drummer. And so I grew up with a lot of music around and a lot of passion and sensitivity in my family for music. Got cousins that are, my cousin David actually taught me how to play guitar, taught me some Nirvana tunes. And it's in the family.
I think I heard you say that Polly was the first song you learned to play.
Polly, man, that's how I learned how to play guitar. my mom tried to get, begged to get this guitar fixed up, and she agreed to fix the guitar up. And then I got some lessons. But my first lessons, I didn't learn anything from because the guy was trying to show me, teach me scales, which I still don't know how to do scales, and teach me, Aerosmith songs. And I wasn't into Aerosmith, so I couldn't learn. And then I really looked up to my cousin. He was in this great punk band in New Jersey. And I would go and listen to his band play and was just so blown away by it and the feeling. It was one of my first feelings of real, this is what I'm going to do, and just feeling wild and free. And, I could remember that feeling. It's incredible. So it took not learning from in a real regiment of these are your scales, this is your homework, and here's your Aerosmith song, to just in his basement teaching me Polly, that blew the doors wide open for me.
What's next for you musically? You mentioned you were in doing a recording session recently. What's coming up?
Well, this has been time off, quote unquote, this winter, but I'm not good at time off. So I've been writing for the next record, which hopefully we'll record in the fall, but we'll see how that all pans out. And in the meantime, I've just been working on a song called Animal, actually, that will come out. We're going to have a limited vinyl 7-inch release for Record Store Day that comes out in April. And working on some demos and just writing for what will be the next record. And then I've got a tour coming up next month. We're going to get to do Conan O'Brien again on the 18th of February. So keeping busy in the off time. Got to keep moving.
How was it playing on Conan the first time?
It was great. That whole thing was crazy because you spend a lot of time to get a publicist and manager, and you try to get on these shows, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I got a call or a text from this painter friend named Natalie Irish, who I only kind of sort of know. She's a friend now, but at the time I only kind of sort of knew, and she really loved the band, my songs and stuff. And she said, I just got on Conan O'Brien. I have this feeling, a spiritual feeling or something, that he will love your music. So if you want, send me a CD, and when I do the show, I'll try to get it to him. So I thought that was a lovely thing and very kind and sweet. But I didn't think anything really of it, that it would pan out to anything. So I sent the CD, and lo and behold, she went on and gave our album to one of his producers, who then gave it to him. He listened to it and really connected and loved the album. So he wound up getting in touch with us. Personally, he wrote me a note telling me how much he liked the record and that he was hoping that we could come on the show. And it's just been, I've been a fan of his and watched his shows since I'm a kid. So it was just pretty incredible. So we got to go and do a show the first time, and then played the Troubadour in LA, and he came and joined the band and played a few songs with us. And now we'll go back and do it again in a little under a month. So it's been cool as can be.
What song do you think you'll play?
Well, I know what song we'll play. We'll play a song called Past Lives.
Okay, yep, that's off the latest record.
So, we're excited about that for sure.
Well, I think we're coming to the end of our time here. Is there anything that you want to talk about related to the theme or anything else that we haven't covered?
I think the music is, at least for me and most people I know, is great, is perhaps the greatest medicine. So to music.
Yep.
A non-alcoholic beverage to music, or if you drink a highly alcoholic beverage.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. I know you have been kind of all over the place, so I'm glad we were able to squeeze in a little bit of time and talk.
Me too. I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you somewhere out there.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
All right, man. Thanks for the talk.
Yep.
Take care.
Bye.
You can learn more about Langhorne Slim and this podcast at oneufeed.net/langhorne.